Monday morning on the Fan Morning Show. So you know what that means. Our 7 o'clock guest, Frank Saravelli, NHL insider and president of hockey content at dailyfaceoff.com, was just out and about in a beautiful scenic Jasper playing shinny with the mountains in the backdrop. A beautiful sight to behold. Frank, what a life you live, eh?
Oh, it was a weekend, I'll tell you that. We had some fun.
All right, so you're out west for what reason, and why did we not get to come host our show from Jasper in the mountains?
I guess your invite got lost in the mail, but
so.
this was purely a work trip. Like, there was no pleasure here at all.
It looked like you were breaking deals out on the ice.
Bring your skates on normal work trips?
Hey, I am the only person walking through the Edmonton airport this morning with his skates in his backpack, yes.
Well, you know, was it crispy passes like it was on, what was it, Christmas Eve? The Sarah Valley Shinny Spectacular?
Yeah,
this was a little bit more crisp, and certainly crisp weather-wise. We got to minus 25 yesterday, so it was a little bit of a battle.
Well, glad you had fun out there, mm-hmm. and we appreciate you joining us early. You're at the airport now?
Yes, I'm got to get rolling back east, so okay. I'm at the airport waiting for my flight.
Trades never sleep, they have been sleeping this whole time.
Yeah,
so.
They have been sleeping for a while. We just had the John Tavares legacy discussion, of course, his 1,000th game over the weekend. When you think of the words Tavares and legacy, what comes to mind for you?
I think of a player that's constantly evolved. I think when you look at the trajectory of his career, he started his career as a franchise player. He then transformed into a bit of a power forward. And I think what's been amazing to watch these last couple years is he's really become one of the very best net front scorers in the league. And when you look at the work that he puts in, like, there's no nights off for John Tavares. He doesn't ever not show up. So the compete level is always high, and sort of as his, you know, as he's aged and gotten closer to 1,000 games, his game has actually changed quite a bit. And so, you know, he's certainly still, 945 points in 1,000 games. I mean, incredibly productive and someone that's been really consistent.
Okay. Let's throw one more buzzword into there. You got Tavares, you got legacy, and you've got Maple Leafs.
Mm-hmm. So how does he factor into that? I guess we'll find out in the playoffs.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So untold, right?
I think so. I mean, look, he's had a obviously really productive and solid start to his tenure with Toronto. But it's when it comes to legacy in that town with that type of contract and that letter on the front of your sweater, it's only going to really matter what the ultimate team success is.
So Matt Murray was scheduled to start Friday, aggravates an ankle injury, forces Samsonov back in net on home ice. He loses his his now 14-1-1. I guess he improved that with the win on Sunday. Are the Leafs sort of learning what other teams had learned now about Matt Murray? Is this like, you know, an innocent, you know, siloed thing, just an ankle injury? He was aggravated. Like, how do you kind of read into the details, if there are any details to read into, with Matt Murray injured again and unavailable to the Leafs?
Yeah, Justin, I think, unfortunately, it's something that they learned right in the first week of the season this year that, you know, obviously this injury not connected to the groin injury that he had to start the year. But nonetheless, this is a guy that I think one of his biggest question marks is reliability, and not from a stopping the puck standpoint, because it seems like when he's healthy, he can find his way to making the saves that you need. But dependability and reliability are two of the biggest abilities out there when it comes to playing that one position in particular. And so I think the Leafs have been really fortunate to this point that Samsonov has been able to carry the ball for large stretches and will probably be counted on, I would imagine, for, you know, a good while, not just related to the injury, but even when he comes back, he's been the more consistent of the two goalies, I think.
For a good while, maybe depends on what they do at the trade deadline as well. We talked about this when we opened the show. right now it looks like Joseph Woll, who's certainly earned this opportunity, will come up and back up. But is there a little bit of a runway here where we wait until we see what happens with Matt Murray, or is this already now a consideration about looking for somebody to maybe fill up that confirmed backup role for the Maple Leafs?
Yeah, I would say just in general, like even before the Murray injury, like I wondered if the Leafs were a candidate to be one of those teams that goes out there at the deadline and trades for a third goalie. And I was wondering if, because the goalie market is so thin this year, I think there's really only one, maybe two teams you could look at that say, you know, they really need a goalie, and that would be the LA Kings and it would be Seattle. And you could make an argument in both places with the way Phoenix Copley's played and Martin Jones has played that what they have now is already the same as what they might be able to get on the open market. But because it's so thin, we have seen in the last couple years teams sort of, you know, shore up the position with an insurance piece just in case you do end up having an injury, you know, in the playoffs, that you can throw that third guy in there that has experience, has track record, that you can count on and at least sleep a little bit more soundly at night. So I wouldn't be shocked at all, given Murray's injury history, to see them, you know, at least peruse that market internally and say, hey, this is probably something that we should look at as it gets closer to deadline day. And if it means, you know, turning over a late round pick in order to make it happen, maybe it's just worth it for peace of mind's sake.
Yeah, almost $5 million on Matt Murray's cap hit for the next two seasons. I don't know where this is going, but I can see a future where Kyle Dubas is trying to dump off another goaltender at some point, whether it's before the deadline this summer. Not to say that, you know, he took a gamble, and has a gamble here with Ilya Samsonov, and it's worked out at least to this point beautifully. But I guess where I'm going,
you know,
is
what I could see at some point a trip to the LTIR, the old Robida Island style.
Robida Island, yeah, we were talking about that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, look, this is, you've got a pile of injuries here, and just doesn't seem like you're quite able to make it, and we're happy to pay you out in full what we owe you, and we're just going to go on LTIR.
So can you still see the silver lining there then? Like, is there a possibility that this opens up more flexibility for them? I thought maybe some of the flexibility would be, hey, we got a couple assets on this team that make money that we could send out if we're really willing to give up on a Matthew Nyes or a first-round pick or whatever. Like, we can send some money out because there are teams that are actively trying to be bad at this point, despite whatever Gary Bettman says. Like, at least some clarity on Matt Murray in that he's not available. Does that help them at all make their decision?
Well, when I said that, by the way, I was thinking more long-term. When you mentioned the cap hit, I was thinking like next season. I don't have any indication right now that that's where this is heading in terms of a longer-term look this season. But are there teams out there, to answer your question, that are willing to take on those deals if you're willing to pay the price? 100%. Chicago has let everyone know that they're willing to do that. Arizona is willing to entertain it. Buffalo is going to end the year with $40 million in projected cap space. It's, you can't take it with you. It's not like a fortune that you can pass on to your kids. Like, this is, it's use or lose cap space. So to take and park a contract in exchange for an asset, you'd be silly not to at least consider the option of it.
All right, so the Leafs are obviously in a pretty tough race against the Boston Bruins, but they've lost three in a row. Not like that really helps too much with the Maple Leafs, who split the weekend as well. But any cause for concern or a pause a little bit with what's going on in Boston, or is it just bound to happen where you get a little bit of a stretch here where you can't win every single game?
I mean, it's kind of been amazing to watch because the reaction that you're having to ask the question and then – you know, we did a podcast yesterday and we were like, our jaws were on the floor. Like, wait, Boston lost three straight? Like,
right.
How is that possible? That's how good it's been. I mean, this is a team that is on pace to chase an NHL record for most points in a season. And to do it and be as perfect as they've been, you don't see something like that. And it's not just the history. It's just, there's really never been a doubt all season long in terms of hitting a rough patch until right at this moment. And the amazing part about what's unfolded in Boston is that I think it almost makes you forget the way in which they started their season. Like, yeah, this was a 107-point team last year that didn't make a whole ton of changes. You know, the coaching change was obvious, but other than that, bringing David Krejci back, that was kind of their big offseason move, and convincing Patrice Bergeron to keep playing. it was the injuries. Brad Marchand and Charlie McAvoy and Matt Grzelcyk. Like, remember we were just talking in the beginning of the season, can they just hang on enough to survive to get into a playoff spot and hang in that race by the time those players come back? Not only did they come back quickly, but they almost didn't even need them. That's how well they played to start the year. Ullmark's been ridiculous. Jake DeBrusk, the best hockey of his career before his injury. Every single thing that the Boston Bruins have touched has basically turned to gold this year. And it's to hit this little skid now and then hit the All-Star break is probably the best thing for them.
Yeah, maybe a little impetus to actually add, which might be the last thing that Maple Leaf fans want to see is Boston being like, oh, we're not actually all that perfect.
Oh, they're adding.
We need to go get the biggest potential trade chip on the board. The Carolina Hurricanes were the last team to hand them a loss. I think they're one of the most fascinating teams out there right now. You know, they got the Max Pacioretty injury. They got aggressive before this season. They're going to have money available to them now. But they're not a team that historically goes in on the rentals. Do you think anything will change on that front? And do you expect them to be active before the deadline?
I do. And here's the thing. They have that space now with the Max Pacioretty injury that's changed everything. And, you know, I had a long discussion with an NHL GM last week about the Carolina Hurricanes in particular, and I sort of dispute the notion that he put out there to me that the Carolina Hurricanes don't have a superstar, and that's gonna be what prevents them from winning the Stanley Cup ultimately at the end of the day. And I look at their players, I look at how deep they are, I look at how consistent they've been, their back end is as deep and as strong as anyone. You know, even with the multitude of injuries that they've had in net, you know, Pyotr Korchetkov, for instance, comes in. I think they've found a secret sauce with their goalies that it almost doesn't really matter who's in net. The way that they play systematically has really allowed their goalies time and space to make saves. Mm-hmm. And he was saying just about the star factor of when you get to the conference final or the Stanley Cup final and you get a break and you get a 2-on-1 or you get an opportunity, that the difference in the NHL is that your stars convert and that they really you know, make it happen. And there's never a doubt when those guys are in on a 2-on-1 that they're going to score. And I just don't know that that's the case. Like, you could maybe look back the last number of years and say, which team won the Stanley Cup that doesn't have a superstar? And you'd probably point to the St. Louis Blues in 2019. Yeah. But even then, Ryan O'Reilly, Vladimir Tarasenko, like, they're maybe the next level down in sort of the pecking order of NHL stars. But still, Alex Pietrangelo, some pretty big names on that team. And I kind of look at Carolina in a similar vein. Like, I'd put that team up against any team in the East.
Yeah, I mean, they do. I think there is something to that argument in that it seems like they always, the scoring always dries up a little bit. When it becomes a little bit harder to score, maybe you need that talent that can, you know, how many players can shoot it like Austin Matthews? How many players can have the puck in their skates, less than ideal situation at goal, but they managed to find a way to make it work? I feel like the Carolina Hurricanes, they do kind of like Vegas. They run out of offense a little bit. And I guess that points to the deadline where there's all these potential impact players available. Like, how would a Patrick Kane look in that roster? It'd probably be pretty impressive, but I'm not really sure if they're going to be able to convince a Patrick Kane to want to come over and maybe sign that deal or give his commitment.
Center.
They probably need a center, but there's no shortage there. Like, Bo Horvat would be perfect for that situation. He looks like a guy who'd be, you know, cut from the same cloth as many of those Carolina Hurricane players already.
Agree, and that's the thing. Like, they wouldn't have been able to just swing at someone like Horvat without having the space. And now Pacioretty, he goes down, and they've been looking for that true second-line center to plug in there. Kotkaniemi hasn't worked out, and he's got a massive contract. And I wonder if a player of that age with that pedigree and the cost certainty might be someone that Vancouver would be interested in, given that we know that they're looking for players and not necessarily draft picks. But the real question with Carolina is it's not really in their MO if they were to trade for someone like Horvat to then re-sign him to a long-term deal. And so maybe they're in a spot where if they did trade for him, that maybe they'd look at things a little bit differently and then just try and flip his rights before free agency opens to recoup a little bit of their spend and maybe play things in a different way than some other teams have previously, because they just look at assets in a different way.
So if there's a trending topic over the weekend, I think it was Trevor Zegras. Any clarity on what happened there with Troy Stetcher? I know there was a report that said, you know, what was initially believed that he was talking about Stetcher's father who had passed was untrue. Do we know exactly what happened there, or is that sort of under the cone of silence?
No, it's not even something I would typically ask about. I thought the did you see the tweet from Brad Marchand?
No.
He just replied to a reporter that was tweeting about it last night and said, shut your pie hole, which was bizarre because the Bruins are not even remotely involved in this. Brad Marchand just coming out with some fire. And I think it's one of those things that obviously whatever was said crossed the line. I don't know what it was specifically. Not sure that it matters, but I think it's one of those things when you see a player's reaction like that, clearly it's something of significance. And apparently it wasn't, you know, for the master lip readers out there, it wasn't what, you know, the Twitter sleuths thought it was, but apparently still something nasty enough to really send Troy Stetcher, who's pretty mild mannered, on an absolute tear.
Yeah, it looked pretty bad regardless. I don't know if we'll find out, you know, what was said, but Trevor Zegras then gets the OT winner.
Yeah,
the way she goes,
the squeaky,
right?
Clean, the squeaky clean NHL 23 cover boy is in a little bit of hot water.
Yeah, that's right. If anything, honestly, it's kind of like a little like bloom off the rose for him, where it's like this is the guy you want to market, and all of a sudden, you know, that sort of report, not even a report, that sort of internet sleuthing happens.
Right.
And again, don't know what said, but it had to be enough to really upset someone. So we'll see.
Frank, question.
That happens.
Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't happen again. Canucks and Ilya Mikheyev, he comes out and says that he's going to have the end of season surgery, but he was also playing with this injury this entire time. Feels like he needs to make a statement, kind of shutting down the idea that maybe there was a mishandling of the situation. It's tough, the state of affairs over in Vancouver, that you feel like you have to do such a thing, but I guess it's warranted with the way that this team has been handling and not handling media as of late.
Yeah, it's kind of one thing after another, isn't it? It's like it literally is a daytime soap opera. Like there's something every single day that you could nitpick at if you're in that market. And I just know personally, I was the person who reported in September that Mikheyev, the Canucks had fears that he did tear his ACL. And I got slapped around by the Vancouver media pretty good then for reporting it. And there's a lot of nuance to injuries and reporting that I think people maybe don't fully appreciate. Like any sort of sprain, and you could even go back to Austin Matthews and his injury, is actually basically a micro tear in the knee. And it all depends really on the severity of it as to what you can and can't play with, what will and will not grow and become more damaging, and, you know, when you need surgery to take care of it. And so the idea that he pushed it as far as he could, and this is sort of the cutoff and deadline where if he goes any later in this lost season and doesn't have surgery, then he won't be ready for training camp once he finally does it. I'd imagine if they were still in the playoff race, this is something that Mikheyev would have continued to play through and then addressed later. But there's no reason to delay the inevitable at this point. Might as well already start focusing on training camp next year.
Last one for you, Frank. You wrote about Luke Shen, if we're sticking with the same team here. Obviously, a pending UFA. You wrote about this on dailyfaceoff.com. Some potential fits for him, none of which were the Maple Leafs, even though we kind of had a little bit of an inkling that maybe they'd poke about that. But you listed six teams that might be interested in him. He's obviously got an affordable contract, championship pedigree. Any lean in towards where the fit might be, or really open season in terms of where Shen might land?
I think it is open season. I think there's been a number of calls that have been coming the Canucks' way on someone like Shen just because of the contract and the Stanley Cup pedigree as someone that has won two Stanley Cups and has been in the thick of it. And I think also the experience factor, like when you consider Luke Shen and every which role in which he's played, being a lottery pick with someone that came in with a ton of attention in the league to, you know, having to go through waivers and play in the AHL, he's done just about everything and then reached the pinnacle on the other end of it with the Stanley Cup. So that experience, the physicality, he's sort of the perfect guy that you could plug into your roster, especially as a right shot with that contract. I think the biggest thing everyone's wondering is, because the contract is so cheap, what does that turn the acquisition cost into? There is word that last year the Canucks turned down a second-round pick for him, and I think part of that was because he did have the one additional year on his contract. My guess at the end of the day is that he ends up in the third-round pick territory. I think the Leafs sort of, the best way to frame it would be they're going to continue to monitor it, but I don't know if that's something, that's a price that the Leafs would be willing to pay.
Well, hopefully next time we talk next week, we got a little closer to someone making a deal here, Frank. Start stirring the pot,
okay? Well, I don't
know.
Okay? It's the All-Star break, so like maybe not.
All right, the week after. Have a safe trip home, Frank. Thanks for joining us this morning. We'll chat soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
As Frank Saravelli, NHL Insider, president of hockey content at dailyfaceoff.com.
That Trevor Zegras seems to incense folks every now and then. Like, we've seen this before, right? And yeah. I think he said Brad Marchand was kind of random, but I think he had an incident with the Bruins at one point as well. Like, he
can poke the bear.
He seems to really get under the skin of players every now and then.
Yeah, he's got...
I hope that it wasn't what was initially believed, because, yeah, this is a marketable guy, a guy that I think a lot of NHL fans want to cheer for, want to see more of, but that was pretty bad, what was at least alleged.
We didn't get to touch on a couple things with Frank, but they might pop up into our winners or losers, which we're going to do after we do something to chew on, brought to you by Great Canadian Meats. Yum, yum, yum. Okay, so I got two updates for you about our two favorite quarterbacks in the NFL.
Let's hear it.
Both from Adam Schefter. Update on Brady first, okay? So Dolphins, long rumored to be interested in Tom Brady, are expected to not pursue the 45-year-old quarterback free agency. Looks like they're committed to Tua after... last season, they're stripped of the first-round pick and fined $1.5 million for tampering with Brady and Sean Payton. So maybe the door is closed there?
I feel like this is a I'm breaking up with you so you can't break up with me thing.
I like that.
Like, I feel like he doesn't... That wasn't in the cards. Like,
interested anyway.
That ship has sailed. Yeah. Like I would have came if you guys would have figured it out, if we didn't tamper, if we didn't do this, if the Bucks just let me go, if I could be part of the ownership, I would have been there. But now I think that's moved. I think we're beyond that, and I think he's got his eyes on another franchise.
I will say I saw a report last week that he was touring private schools in Miami for his children.
Really? Okay.
Eyeball
Well,
emoji.
Maybe the kids
but
are sticking around,
quickly.
Though. The kids
things
might be sticking
quickly.
Around. I don't know if get the family affairs, but I think Giselle is a Floridian.
Yeah. Okay. So. Second part of this bombshell report to deal with Packers and Rodgers. Those close to the situation believe that the Packers are looking to move on from Aaron Rodgers and that he knows the Packers' intentions are to move him, a scenario that was once seemed unthinkable. A Rodgers trade could be driven by financial reasons, the stake of the Packers franchise, and ultimately the feeling of both the team and the star quarterback. Maybe it's another we're breaking up with you first situation.
Well, I think he should just completely, follow the Favre path footstep by footstep, go to the Jets and then go to the Vikings 2 years later and just do exactly what Brett did.
All right.
Just do it. I actually want to see him with the Jets. I think the Jets could be really good if they had Aaron Rodgers. Like, really good.
Well, certainly something to chew on because I'm sure this week Brady will make headlines leading up to the Super Bowl to find a way to get himself back in the media.
Didn't the Jets hire Rodgers' boy?
I
Nathaniel
believe
Hackett?
So. Hint, hint. I mean, nudge, nudge.
It'd be the second team to try and fail to get Rodgers by hiring Nathaniel Hackett. That'd be quite the story.
All right. After the break, we have our winners and losers of the weekend, and we're giving away tickets to the Marlies game this week. So you have to stay tuned because you know how it is. You text in a code.
We got a couple tickets to give away. A couple
this
events.
This week we have some tickets. All
Summer's
right?
coming around. We've got some events coming.
We got
coming.
Some concerts. We got some Marlies. So you have to always listen to the Fan Morning Show and get ready to text in. And while you're at it, text in your Wake and Rake picks for tonight. Ron and Markham, he's on it. We can't have I miss Neil in Newfoundland. I hope he texts in other things, though.
Listen, there's tennis every weekend.
I know, so.
Doesn't have to be just the majors, Neil.
That's right. Neil, find those minor league tennis matches, okay?
Minor league.
The AHL, the tennis. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with winners and losers on the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish.
Big opinions and in-depth conversations covering the Leafs, Jays, Raptors, and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkin Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All All right, we're back on the Fan Morning Show. Monday morning means we're going to look back at the weekend that was. Winner, the kids going to school today at whatever school you built that snowman at.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to body slam that thing to smithereens.
Someone's drop kicking the head off of my snowman.
Someone's working on their tackles this morning at whatever school you built that snowman in.
And just to remind everyone, like, it was rickety. It did not have much support. It's not going to take much.
It's going down quick today.
For that to go down. Like, someone breathes on it heavily and it's going down.
A gust of wind.
Yeah.
Did anybody see you build it, by the way?
Someone walked by and gave me kind of like the,
yes.
Okay. That's a cool snowman,
yes.
man, cool snowman, man. I was pretty anonymous. I was pretty anonymous. I was a little scared of, a little like rushing to get it done because I didn't want to.
Maybe that's why it's built poorly.
The amount of work I had to put in.
How long did it take you, by the way?
I'm not even sure.
Like time,
putting
it,
the video,
an hour? Deal,
like the whole project.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Going out, Party City, no frills, the video editing.
Mm-hmm.
The actual snowman construction,
mm-hmm.
the preparation when I realized it wasn't packing snow, a lot went into it.
You know
what?
It was
a full weekend affair.
I'm proud of you.
I don't know how influencers do it. What, like, how do you have enough time to make four videos a day? Like, there are people that make filling up the bucket daily. Come along with me and do whatever.
They don't get up at 4:30 to work like us, Justin.
I don't know. It was very, very time consuming.
I appreciate the amount of effort went into.
Now, since I'm a TikTok guy, I'm going to have to continue to churn content.
So what's your TikTok handle?
Now all my free time is going to be spent.
What's your TikTok handle?
It's just my name.
Nice. Go check it out. Justin's got two videos.
One video.
Oh, I thought you put the Good Deeds Cup one. You didn't?
No.
You
no,
will.
No. Next one.
While we're at it and we're sourcing the text line, our next show bet, which I believe I'm winning 2-1 at this point, right? Yep.
Yeah, total show bets.
Yes, total show bets. We'll have to do with our Super Bowl prop sheet that we're going to do. And I was thinking we could make it a community-wide. I already thought about how I do this. We will make like a Google Drive link and people can, like a Google form, and they can submit their answers through the Google form. We'll have it like all next week. Maybe you can submit your prop bet answers, and then we'll have like, you know, Chris and Markham, this is his answer, and then we can just play as a team with no prize.
Okay, so we're going to create a prop sheet,
yeah,
that anyone can access.
That anybody can play with us.
And you and I will go head to head, at least just on our own.
Yes.
For the next bet. But we want to invite everyone to participate
nice.
In it. Okay.
Because you know we got a loyal Wake and Rake community, and maybe they want to play with us.
We do. I think a lot of people will want to join the Super Bowl
prop sheet. We'll make that next week, and then we'll release the link, and everybody can play.
You might have to go through some channels if you want to do, like, any, like, hey, prize. I don't know. Like
no prize.
Like, just get mentioned on the air. Is that the prize?
Unless our bosses listening,
I mean,
want to donate some tickets.
If we escalate this very quickly,
maybe
we could pull it off. What I'm saying.
We'll work on that, but we'll have some participants. But my question is, please ponder a punishment for Justin and I.
Yeah, I think we need more. We had a couple ideas, but like it was me going to hot yoga, and that doesn't do anything for you. Like you just go there on your leisure time.
Yeah, that's not good enough. Okay, this is a loser for me, which might have to do with losing a bet. Speaking of bets, the Empire State Building, I don't know what's going on with them. Something happened to their social media manager or their brains. But yesterday they tweeted the following. Fly, Eagles, fly. We're going green and white in honor of the Eagles' NFC Championship victory. They lit the Empire State Building green and white. Obviously, you know the stakes of doing that. What is going on? Secondly, they keep that up from, I don't know, 6 p.m. till about 10 p.m. And then they change the colors of the Empire State Building to the Chiefs' colors. In honor of their AFC Championship win, we're now lit for the Chiefs. This hurt us more than it hurt you. I think somebody that works there either lost the bet or they're on their way out and they're like, hey, I'm quitting this job tomorrow, so I'm just going to light up this Empire State Building, whatever I'd like.
I don't know. This is like a coordinated attack, though. Like, you can't have someone who's in charge of the Twitter account and the lights. Like, this is... It's too much.
It's a two-person job.
It's an inside job against the building. Now, this is maybe the worst thing about social... there's a lot of bad things about social media. So not the worst. Not the worst thing about social media. But, like, having structures that have accounts, like, all of a sudden they can feel and experience things and have an opinion, a sentient... Like, I'm not into that. I don't care.
It's kind of eerie to you?
No, but it's just stupid. Like, why is the Empire State Building, right?
That's correct.
Empire State Building, why is that building formulating an opinion and tweeting it?
I don't know. We got us talking about it. That's why.
Let us know when the doors open every day for visitors. That's all I want out of the Empire State Building's Twitter account.
But it's got to be.
You shouldn't have an opinion.
Something's going on there. We'll get to the bottom of it, but maybe lost the bet. I don't know.
Very anti-New York.
Definitely an L column for
them. Big old L.
All right. What do you got for me?
I'll give you two golf winners to start.
One of them might have just happened, too.
I don't want, like, because we do winners and losers now, and we're entering golf season. Like, it should be like, oh, who won the golf event? But I want to give one to Max Homa and Rory McIlroy, who won their respective golf events this weekend. Max Homa is quietly becoming one of the best golfers in the world. He's now, and more importantly, maybe one of the most clutch golfers in the world, now entered the final round of a PGA Tour event inside the top five, 9 different times. He's won 6 of those events. That's pretty remarkable. And this, speaking of hat tips, from Rick Gaiman on Twitter. If you've bet $100 on Max Homa in every event since the start of 2020, guess how much money you'd have in your bank account?
$100 since 2020.
Every event. So he's only won a handful. More often than not, you're losing, of course. But how much money you would have a $100 bet every single time?
$20,000.
Okay, not quite. 11.
Okay.
$11,000.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. So if you were just betting Max Homa and you were very, very diligent with it, consistent every event, Max Homa, Max Homa, Max Homa, same unit every time, you have a lot of money. That's a big old return. $11,000 on $100 per event. Pretty impressive.
Is there anything worse than when you say take a guess and someone just guesses so much over and you're like, oh no, it's actually not even
definitely
close.
Overestimated how usually the opposite way. Yeah. I'm guessing something and I'm way off and you're like disgusted with me for at least
it's pretty disheartening when you're like, oh, it's actually only $11,000. That's still very impressive and surprising. Okay.
Thank you. Big
winner. And
I didn't do my other golfer.
Oh, sorry.
Rory McIlroy, who literally a late submission to the winners and losers, because this morning he rolled in a long birdie putt on 18 to avoid a playoff with guess who?
Max Homa.
Patrick Reed. Patrick Reed, who he was beefing with at the start of the year, or start of the tournament.
Oh, with the tee toss.
Tee guy. Woo! Like, that would have been amazing theater if they're in a playoff together right now in Dubai at the Desert Classic. But Rory McIlroy gets to avoid having to go head-to-head with Patrick Reed, gets to celebrate in his face after knocking down a putt on 18.
I love that.
He gets his first win of the year, I believe. Rory McIlroy, always a winner in my book.
Monster winner.
This weekend in Dubai.
Okay, this one I feel like could be up for debate because you're either going to hate this or love this. So this winner goes to the Oilers / Jay Woodcroft / McDavid, okay?
Okay.
It's a joint trophy.
I'm winner. Just for the record.
Okay. So we have two audio clips to play when I do this. So Oilers goaltender Stuart Skinner out of the lineup on Saturday due to an illness. They need a backup goaltender. An e-bug, as we all know very well in the city. So they get the services of University of Alberta Golden Bears goaltender Matt Berlin. He signs that amateur tryout. He's sitting there on the bench behind Jack Campbell. He ends up playing in the game, but not due to injury. He gets called into the game because Woodcroft / McDavid, who came to Woodcroft and said, hey, we should do this. They were up 7-2 with a couple minutes left in the game and said, why don't we put the kid in? The 25-year-old, let him have his NHL debut. So he plays 2 minutes and 26 seconds. He makes a save, and he gets to live out his NHL dream without having to because of a situation, just because of pure love and respect for the game. So we have a clip on him getting the nod to play in this game, unsurprisingly, in a quick turn of events.
I thought they were kidding, to be honest. It was, 5 or 7 minutes left there. They go, yeah, you're going with 2 minutes. And I'm like, oh, like, good one. Yeah, nice. And then they're like, no, seriously, like, I don't joke around. So, and then they go, just be ready to go at 3-minute mark. And then after the first whistle after the 3 minutes, they're going in. And I was like, okay, I guess we're doing this. I was a little bit shaky, I won't lie. I didn't know if I wanted a shot. But, I'll definitely remember that for the rest of my life.
That is such a good story.
It's awesome.
You know who would never do that? Basically any other organization.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising. It helped that it was 7-2. I hate the e-bug. You know I hate the e-bug. Mm-hmm. I think it's ridiculous. But in this case, I like it because it's like a nice little thing. It's harmless. No one's going to get hurt. No one's going to get embarrassed. No one's going to, it's not going to cost anything mm-hmm. in a major league sport. I'm of the opinion that every team should have someone on payroll earning 100 grand, whatever you want it to be.
Practice. Wow. Can I sign up for this?
Yeah, you can. Practice goalie that only can never start a game, but can come in as an e-bug. So it's not like you're getting a really talented, ultra talented third goalie to play for your team and you're circumventing the salary cap. No, someone on the payroll who can play in an emergency situation only, because I think mm-hmm. it's just like, yeah, great stories, but eventually it's going to be a bad story. Like eventually it's going to blow up in someone's face and not be fun. However, this is a nice e-bug story. I'm all for this e-bug story
okay.
because you can get him a couple minutes. You can make his athletic career. And it's basically just a decision that McDavid and Woodcroft made. I love it. And he got the call. He was like,
yeah, so I have that clip too. He got the call earlier in the day. So he's studying for an exam.
Mm-hmm. I believe it was psychology.
Oh,
psych med. That.
Look at you, a little insider.
I guess
insider.
I listened to the clip.
Well, here we go. Is the call to join the team as an e-bug that he got.
At about like 4:30 p.m., he texted me again. It's a change of plans. You're actually backing up tonight. So then I'm actually sitting there doing homework, and my heart rate spikes. I'm like, oh, my God, what's going on? So then, yeah, it was a bit of a whirlwind of a day getting reorganized, getting ready, getting down here. But it was unbelievable. Everyone was so welcome when I came in, the players, staff, everybody. So it was unbelievable.
What class were you doing homework
There you
for?
Go.
I was studying for a psychology
room the
midterm
surprise.
On Monday.
Did you get an extension or anything?
I don't know. I might have to ask.
Imagine that kid going into school today or going back to his Golden Bears team.
How'd you go back to studying after that?
Yeah, you're like, okay, thanks so much, McDavid and co. I just got to get home quick because I got an exam.
Yeah,
good
it's
for
be
him.
Tough turnaround. Couple more obvious ones. Patrick Mahomes. I guess we were talking about the legacy game, right? Legacy moment. Have to beat Burrow. Have to make sure it's not called Burrowhead for the rest of their playing career. So Patrick Mahomes on that bum ankle. A big, big, big performance from him. And Novak Djokovic. Now, I'm not a Novak Djokovic guy. Ugh. Not a Novak Djokovic guy. However, he's a winner. He's a winner. He won his 10th Australian Open.
Whatever.
And he did it after not being allowed to enter the country last year. Like, pretty good redemption story for him. Again, don't love him. Pains me to see him lapping Roger Federer. But he is undoubtedly and unquestionably a GOAT, a legend, and a guy who's probably going to go down as the best tennis player of all time once he's done, unfortunately.
Yep. Speaking of tennis, Neil just sent in a tennis pick, so he's listening.
Hell yeah.
Let's get to that.
Thank
God.
Forget Novak.
okay. Major loser. And this one was decided late in the night because I had it in the middle of the Venn diagram, as we speak about. But the outcome of last night's football game...
It went from Venn to major?
Yes.
Okay.
It skyrocketed
the
from
swung.
The middle of the pendulum to very far off the deep end. So the mayor of Cincinnati...
Ah, our buddy Aftab.
He got out there on the internet before the big AFC championship game and created this video. Unprompted, just decided to put this in the universe. We're going to play the video, and then obviously you know the result of the game, which just makes it a major loser.
Good afternoon, Cincinnati. I have a proclamation from the desk of the mayor. Be it proclaimed, whereas the Cincinnati Bengals are headed to Burrowhead Stadium for their second consecutive AFC Championship game. Whereas at last year's game, the Bengals scored more points than the Chiefs, resulting in a Bengals victory and a Chiefs loss. Whereas Joseph Lee Burrow, who's 3-0 against Mahomes, has been asked by officials to take a paternity test.
This is awful.
Confirming whether or not he's his father. Whereas all season long, Cincinnati has been on a path of destiny, fighting it out to overcome anyone who stands between them and a Super Bowl win. And whereas Kansas City is named after its neighboring state, which is, you know, just kind of weird. Now, therefore, I, Aftab Pierval, mayor of the city of Cincinnati, do hereby proclaim January 29th, 2023, as They Gotta Play Us Day in Cincinnati. Thank you.
Brutal.
Okay, you know I said I want my landmarks, my structures, my buildings to be opinionless. I also want him to be. I also want our mayors to be opinionless. We don't need this. We don't need the cute, you know, bet between different mayors, and you just like send a bottle. You know, it's like 12, you know, 24 Canadian across the border.
What about when Obama did that with us during the Olympics?
Anything Obama does is cool.
Yeah, Obama's cool.
But every, you know, if you're not cool, and generally you're not.
That guy's not cool.
Let's not. Let's just not do it. The DNA test was the stupidest thing in the world. I need our mayors to not be having opinions like this.
And I need them to not speak like me when I'm trying to write a thesis with words. Yeah,
how about a reshoot? Like, there were so many fumbles in that, and it sounded like completely lifeless. Like,
oh, it was tough.
Are you that busy that you can't have a second take on your shot at Burrow and the Kansas City Chiefs?
Okay, big time L, though.
Big time L.
All right, got a couple more?
I'll give LeBron James an L.
Oh, yeah, he's in my L column, too.
And I'm giving Pat Bev a W.
Yes.
Because that was one of the more creative protests towards a referee I've ever seen, him bringing the camera. It wasn't even like a full camera. It was just like a photographer.
Like someone's DSLR. Like
a, yeah, photographer lens out on the court to show that there was, in fact, a foul. And there was a foul late game with LeBron James driving. But his reaction, I know he's playing his heart out, but like LeBron can be very corny. LeBron can be very annoying.
Yeah.
And we're going down that sort of same path here. LeBron... Not in the same group as Aftab, but he's got to chill a little bit. Like, that was the most dramatic thing I've ever seen in a late game scenario. And LeBron, a loser for that, despite him playing his ass off right now.
Okay, to continue with the losers page. So after this missed call, the NBA and their reffing Twitter account. So maybe you don't want them to have a voice either.
Yeah, that's another one. That's another one.
Why don't we just abolish speaking? For Justin Cuthbert. So Sunday afternoon, after the controversy of the missed call, which certainly was, ends up going to overtime, they lose. This is what the actual NBA officials page posted on Twitter. Quote, like everyone else, referees make mistakes. We made one at the end of last night's game, and that is gut-wrenching for us.
God.
This play will weigh heavily and cause sleepless nights as we strive to be the best referees we can be.
I stopped reading after gut-wrenching. I didn't see the sleepless nights.
That's for nights. Real? That's a real tweet from an NBA referee account.
What are we doing?
That is so sarcastic. Just like backhand, like sleepless nights. We make mistakes.
You think that's sarcastic?
Yeah. You think they actually mean that?
I feel it's just like LeBron-level drama.
Well, yeah. But I think they're poking fun at how dramatic that was.
Maybe. If it was, I'll give him credit, actually. If that's just laying on the sarcasm, I like it a little bit more.
Got any more?
Joel Embiid is a big winner.
Oh.
Joel Embiid out-dueled Nikola Jokic on, I believe, Saturday night. He put himself back into the MVP race. His line, 47 points. 18 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks, 3 steals, 18 for 31 from the floor in 38 minutes. He was the better big man in that game. He outdueled the presumptive MVP, and all of a sudden he's back in the conversation for the most valuable player, with the lines shifting a lot based on that performance.
Because of one game, eh?
But like, it hasn't been just one game. He's been Joel Embiid of late. He's been really, really good, and I guess he makes things a little bit more interesting, although Nikola Jokic probably still deserves to be the presumptive favorite. And I got to kind of give the Ottawa Senators a winner.
Oh, big time.
Over the weekend.
Huge winners.
2 primetime hockey night in Canada spots. 2 big games. They get the floor
the
cleared
gen.
For them. Next gen. But also, the Leafs don't play Saturday night, and Ottawa gets to play and be, like, not the lead, but probably the lead, because Montreal's going through what they're going through. It's a chance for the Senators to shine and over the Leafs and Habs. 2 wins, back-to-back nights. They outscore their rivals 11-2 on aggregate. Big weekend for the Ottawa Senators. Big weekend.
All right, I got 2 quick losers. This is let me explain it. Giannis puts up 50 last night, but will probably be the least talked about storyline coming into today in sports media because of everything that happened with NFL and with the Leafs blowing the game on Friday and Murray and stuff. But
okay.
So kind of a loser, but also a winner because he scored 50. But loser us because Nylander didn't get the All-Star game nod, even though we tried. Justice for Willie. We find out Friday when we get off the air that Auston Matthews won't be attending the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
After I have purchased an Auston Matthews All-Star game jersey. So I am a loser. I purchased it. It's coming in the mail. Oh, he's never going to wear it. Maybe it makes it actually a little bit more special, like limited edition.
Maybe.
I have no idea. I can't return it. It's in the mail. So loser me.
Jeez.
Loser anyone that was wanted to see Austin Matthews or William Nylander at the All-Star game. All a big bunch of L's.
Yeah, I had that too. Justice for Nylander campaign drivers. Big, big losers. Of course, we're at the forefront of that. And I guess to spin it forward, the positive, a winner has to be John Tavares. 1,000 games, yes. Kids out on the ice with them. Flowers exchanging hands, silver stick, all this excitement, pomp and circumstance.
Tiffany,
the parents there, the wife there.
Did you see the Tiffany crystal?
I did.
They just give them a Tiffany crystal
I
as well.
May have looked down when the Tiffany crystal was being passed
out
on.
Out of the blue box.
But a big moment for Johnny Toronto. Hopefully bigger moments to come from him, for him. But that's a pretty special day. And at least his teammates rose to the occasion, gave him a pretty good effort in the Leafs. Winners over the Washington Capitals.
All right, we got lots of time for that during the Wake and Rake as well. I got a couple more, but we got to take a break because Ross Tucker joins us on the other side. He was on sideline for Niners, Eagles. See if he sensed a little bit of disappointment with just the kind of snooze fest of that game. Obviously, the Eagles fans probably were pumped up, but didn't see the battle we had hoped for.
No, it was just a party for Philly. That's why I think he was probably all right with it.
Yeah, hey, you see them climbing greased up poles?
Hell yeah, I saw them falling through bus stops.
Winners, Eagles fans, because grease can't stop them.
No amount of grease can stop Philly fans.
Can't. All right, Ross Tucker on the other side of the break. Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish Borsette, 590 The Fan.